consequently, in this, I have counseled too many homosexuals. I think I told you I gave a most surprising, well, one-day seminar when I spoke to the missionaries of charity in Washington when they were to take care of the AIDS patients. And behind homosexuality, I repeat, behind homosexuality is especially making, well, Mahorai the only ground of morality. As I've said before, we ought to show our love to people. And God has given human beings, both men and women, a deep satisfaction enjoying what we call sexual activity. But I know of no more important but in any language, but sexual activity, a gift from God, may be enjoyed only by married people between themselves, where they do not deliberately exclude the prospect of conception. In my 50 years in the priesthood, I have learned so much. I sincerely believe this is at the heart of the moral chaos in one Western country after another, like our own. I think I did tell you one of my Jesuit confreres again, this time a man from Poland, who spent 4.5 years in Dachau. As far as he knew, he was the only full survivor of the opening and the closing of Dachau. He spoke several languages. The cruelty of those SS guards, as they were called, on the way to your rationed meal in line. Soldiers with guns. Meals. He told me we never once walked into a single meal without some of us being shot on the way to the dining hall. Injected with the most agonizing disease. And my friend had the job, to call it that, of wheeling the supposedly dead bodies from the furnace chambers in wheelbarrows to the furnace. He told me, John, all those supposedly dead bodies in my wheelbarrow, they all move. They're all alive. How could human beings be so cruel? Please don't forget this. We watched the SS, both men and women, troops. And we did not know of a single one who was not a homosexual. there is a limit to the pleasure that the body can get from sexual activity. And then the pleasure is increased by causing pain and severe pain to the one with whom you'll have sexual activity. All of this is locked up in what we're saying. Surely the why has a lot to do with the moral order. But the why is not the only ground of morality. Is the what, the how, and the why. And the fundamental theologians have gone to the extreme. No matter what your motive is, as long as you are not motivated by a total rejection of God, then no sin is mortal. And that is the main reason for the most drastic drop in confessions in the church's 2,000 years of history. Do you still hear me? I'm sure I told some of you on some occasion. How are we doing on the time?
4:20.
4?
4:20.
4:20. Thanks. I'll finish with this. As I said on some occasion, I believe I've shared this thought with you. Then the Holy Father came to the United States for the first time. He made sure that he got all the bishops together in Chicago. Not too long a speech that he gave them, but the heart of his talk to the bishops was, in the name of God, in the name of God, hear confessions. And now the story. In Virginia, St. John's Parish, in the Diocese of Arlington, pardon me for repeating it, but it illustrates a principle. I had heard confessions all afternoon and all evening for the two priests who took off on Saturday afternoon and evening. So I said, gee, I'll be swamped with confessions. I counted them. 11 people went to confession from mid-afternoon till 8 at night. Sunday Mass the next morning, the largest attended Mass on Sundays. Remember? Had my homily prepared. Then, as I walked into the pulpit, thought of myself, so I prayed. Whenever I'm in doubt, I ask the Lord, Lord, should I do it? And without receiving mystical experience, I thought he said, do it. So I read the gospel, and then I leaned over the pulpit. My dear friends in Christ, I never thought in my years in the priesthood I'd have the privilege of speaking to the holiest people in America. We all perked up. Then I told them, I was hearing confession for hours. 11 of you showed up for confession. I know with this 10 o'clock mass, standing room only, just about everybody will come to communion. I know human nature too well. I just cannot imagine that you're all in the state of grace. If you're not in the state of grace, do not come to communion. One head after another. I finished my improvised homily. I think I told you, at least half of that church did not come to communion. And next Saturday, they had confessions. Just about everybody went to confession. In other words, we need that sacrament. I need it. All the years I've been teaching my Jesuits, never give a talk or a lecture without drawing some practical conclusion. Well, needless to say, my conclusion here is, go to confession as often, pardon me, as you can. And please, don't hesitate imposing on priests. And especially you ladies. Oh, men too. But, you want to go to confession. But I'm busy, Father. Not too busy to give me absolution. And I think it would be about close to 4:30, right? Yeah. And my plan was, where's my box? Isn't the fundamental option theory just another form of relativism? Yes, you can call it another form of relativism. But there's a big difference between knowing the name of something and understanding what it is. But this fundamental option has deeply infected much of Western society. Regarding the Rosary, are we not to say the glorious mysteries during Lent? Why, of course. Don't tell me that someone told you not to see the glorious mysteries during Lent. In fact, I'd almost say specialize in the glorious mysteries, because that's what Lent is all about. For me, Lent is a one syllable description of our life here on earth. Lent. A time of self-denial, of embracing things we don't like, and of giving up things we do like. Well, the glorious mysteries. There'd be no point to Lent except for the glorious mysteries. Hear it. There is no glorification without the crucifixion. We must first die with Christ, but rise and be happy for all eternity with Him. In your opinion, what is the danger of being an organ donor? Thanks for the question. You know, it's almost universal practice. Remember? Writing a will. What do they call that will?
Living will.
Over the years, I've come to know, and by the way, I almost finished my doctoral studies in biochemistry. Except for a dissertation, I would have gotten my doctorate in biochemistry. And for yet the Society of Jesus to make sure that I was making a free choice, I had myself admitted to medical school. So I know the medical profession well. All the states in our country now have a medical definition of death. Thanks. But a vital organ cannot be effectively transmitted if the person is dead. So the danger in organ donation is not you'll be donating a vital organ while you're still alive. And, of course, they've got books now describing and defining medical death. Is it true that to commit a mortal sin, you know it is a mortal sin? In other words, is ignorance bliss? That is regarding salvation. No. There are two kinds of ignorance. Blissful ignorance and sinful ignorance. Just because I don't know that something is a sin, that does not excuse me. The question is my ignorance of the sinfulness, in this case, of something being mortally sinful, is my ignorance culpable or not? Have I made honest efforts to know my faith? And for most Americans, I am afraid, the ignorance of what is mortal sin is not blissful. Oh, it may be blissful here on earth, but what a surprise is awaiting them. And that is why, especially our present Holy Father, so stresses the importance of not claiming that if you follow your conscience, you could do whatever your conscience tells you. Just a minute. The conscience is the mind passing judgment on moral matters. Just because my mind does not know that something is a grave sin does not mean that I'm not guilty, because there was such a thing, this needs to be shouted, There was such a thing as culpable or guilty ignorance. How do we respond to this comment? The Vatican has priceless art and treasures. Why don't they sell them to, well, first feed the poor, second, solve social and moral problems, three reasons. Compared to the wealth of the United States, the quote treasures of the Vatican are a miniature child collection. Secondly, those treasures, we call them of art, were given to the Holy See for a purpose. And we are obliged to honor the purpose for which anyone, say, gives us anything. And that purpose was that through these treasures, see of art, God and Our Lady and the angels and saints might be glorified. What is more important, to glorify God by enabling people to be inspired by the beauty of what was given to the Holy See for this one purpose, to honor God, or to feed the poor? And, pardon me for saying this, but I think I should. Who remembers which of the 12 apostles made the same complaint? Pardon me, I did not mean to offend the one who asked the question. Having been in the Vatican just about Sunday now, last week, you just want to stay there. The inspiration of the paintings of Michelangelo. In other words, there are two kinds of poverty that need to be fed. Poverty of body and poverty of spirit. Which is more important? Needless to say, poverty of spirit, which is fed, among other ways, by the beauty of sacred art and architecture. What are your thoughts concerning Mother Teresa's replacement as head of her order? Her name is Sister Nirmala, and the name means Immaculate. It would be in Latin, Immaculata. After Mother Teresa, I don't know of any missionary of charity better than Sister Nirmala. In my first contact with the missionaries of charity, remember, I think I told you, 5-hour conversation in the Bronx, in New York, with Mother Teresa. And she had informed the Holy See that she was interested in starting a contemplative branch of her sisters. So the Vatican told her she was going to go to New York anyhow. When you go to New York, look up a character by the name of Father Hardin, a Jesuit. You may never have heard of him. Look him up. Call him up. He might be of some help to you. That's gone on for 22 years. And the superior appointed by Mother Teresa to the contemplative branch was the present new Mother General. A convert from Hinduism, way above average in intelligence. Very small person, very ascetical person. A deeply prayerful person. I think she's a wonderful choice. I could not call her this morning, but I will tomorrow because there are 10.5 hours ahead of us. And can I tell her you will pray for her? Are those innocent souls who are taught and believe moral relativism, the fundamental options held accountable for their naive trust? Well, the only way I can answer that question is only God knows. On the other hand, as you mothers know, children from the tenderest age, they have a deep interior sense of what is right or wrong. Now, they can be misled. A fundamental option is surely a misleading. I would seem to be less accountable. And this is the tragedy. I'm seeing much more than you realize. The tragedy, especially of Catholic higher education, not being in the hands as it should be of those who believe what Christ revealed. Am I doing other time?
15 minutes
till 5. Thank you. Is there written, a written document, that masturbation is psychologically harmful? Where? Well, I can tell you this. And if somebody would remind me, when is our next class, by the way? April something?
13.
April 13th. April 13th. Is that 2 weeks after Easter? April 13th. So, by April 13th, if somebody would remind me, and re-remind me, to bring the moral textbooks that we used before the present revolution. In other words, in teaching the people, we priests are not just to appeal to their faith, but to their reason. Yes. And remind me by April 13th to bring one or the other, and there are books I may have to translate from Latin. Oh, by the way, I think I should say this. I've been encouraged by the Holy See to publish what I'm calling a Catholic Computer Soma. Doing all that over the years I trusted to the Lord's guidance, I have written, most of which I have not published. Because nowadays, since most seminaries are using the vernacular for textbooks, Lord help us, they lack the sound, moral teaching, so many of these seminarians, that for over 700 years, the standard textbooks in all Catholic seminaries in the world were Latin. The vernacular now, when I began teaching theology in English, it was, and I'm not exaggerating, the most painful mortification of my life. So, I will keep the promise. Who has the Holy Father called? Or why has the Holy Father called a synod of both North and South American bishops to Rome? Well, I think by now you should all know the answer. In other words, dioceses, God knows which ones, I would not dare identify them by name. Dioceses that are in deep trouble. One diocese that some of you know well, Sunday Mass attendance has dropped by 89%. The Diocese of Pittsburgh just closed its 68th parish, and Pittsburgh is not a big diocese. Oh, I'm happy to report that the bishops I met was called to Rome by the Holy Father was Bishop Boscovitz. Yeah, it's good to know, isn't it? Others may call him whatever you call, but Holy Father thinks he's great. Brother Hardin, is there a good book on Marxism and its effect on the United States? Yes, there are several books, but I would be guessing if I gave them to you now, the exact titles and authors escape me. Did Noah exist? Oh, thanks for these questions. They remind me of my Jesuits. And especially, those girls back into the 40s and 50s, my Jesuit teachers. There was a teacher of Scripture who would lecture on Noah and Jonah and Job. Being well, figments of the pious imagination. I did tell you, didn't I, what I did with my teacher of biblical studies in theology for my ordination. He taught us for 4 semesters, and there were 2 term papers each semester. So I wrote 8 term papers. Each of my 8 term papers, I refuted my teacher. I'll pick a subject like Noah. and spend 12 pages. Type it out. Carefully thought through. Refuting his teaching. But he was an honest man. He'd give me an A. He'd write another long paper refuting me. When I came back to join the faculty, I have to say this, not long after he was dismissed from the Society of Jesus. I sure appreciate these questions. They bring back on memories. Does Bishop Gomelton speak for Carnamita on matters of homosexuality? No. What responsibility or control does Carnamita have with respect to his bishops and priests? And before God, he has a grave responsibility. The single most difficult virtue for a member of the hierarchy to practice is courage, fortitude. Why haven't heretics like Richard McBrien, Charles Curran, Hans Kuhn, and so on, been excommunicated, like the priest from Sri Lanka recently was? Is Bishop Gomelton a heretic? Why isn't he excommunicated? How is the excommunication process initiated? Well, I can tell you this. 28 years in working for the Holy See has taught me an awful lot. And one of the principles of the Holy See is, of course, everything possible to preserve and promote the faith. But may all human means avoid formal break with the Catholic Church. In other words, there was such a thing as de facto heresy. There was such a thing as de jure heresy. In the 16th century, that's what happened. Bishop after bishop, whole hierarchy of England, remember, except John Fisher, sided with the king and against the pope. But what happened? Whole nations withdrew from union with the Catholic Church. And that is the reasonable fear of Pope John Paul II. Am I making sense? Any time left. How do you feel about charismatics? Well, I like the verb feel. It's such a safe verb. I love charismatics. I try to be as kind as I can to charismatics. Directly, I never counsel charismatics to leave, well, the charismatic movement. But if the question were, what do you think of the charismatic movement? It was think, not feel. And I have to say, the charismatic movement is a direct descendant of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. And if somebody again would remind me, and it's years ago, but I've never had to change my mind, then Cardinal Cook of New York asked me to speak to his priests in New York about the charismatic movement. It's about a 10-page manuscript. I'll try to find it, but somebody has to remind me. I'll distribute a copy to all of you on the 13th of April. I've never had it change one syllable. I love the charismatics. I know them. They know me. On two dramatic occasions, I've spent a whole day in each case meeting with the leaders of the charismatic movement in the United States. And only one request. Would you please join us? Well, regretfully, I declined. Thank you. What can you say to someone who doesn't believe in Satan? Well, first tell the person, you know, you're quite a loner. The whole civilized world believes in an evil spirit. And then I'd ask the person, why don't you believe in Satan? And this is the best way of dealing with people who deny what we know is true. Find out from them why they don't believe, in this case, in Satan. And I can tell you this, having taught the non-Christian religions over 30 years, there is no religion in the world that does not believe in Satan. None. In other words, ask the person, is everything in this world good? Well, if the person is sober and sane, he or she should say no. Well, who do you think inspires or inspires so many things that you admit are not good? Oh, how much those who are exorcists, how much they know. And anyone who denies the existence of Satan, with its own clothes, is under the influence of the devil, whose first name is liar. Is it time? A few questions left, but we'll have mass now. We are in the school building. The mass now that I've got my key. Yes. I get into the head of the convent. You'll have Mass immediately after class. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us
sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O Mary, conceived
without sin. Pray for us today, and at the
hour of our death. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Though my heart, a most blessed and happy Easter, because I don't think we'll meet, right? Before Easter. And you're in my prayers every day. Shall we have a blessing? Benedictio Deo Omnipotentis, Patris et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Peshedet superbos, and Mariat semper. Amen.